Blog Talk Radio.
Today's sponsor of Southern Sense is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audible entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Southern Sense.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Hey, Cal, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, geez,
I can hear you.
Monologue without turning my mic on.
Hey, Annie.
Annie.
Hi, Annie.
When I said we are in the Looney Tunes, well, that's what I put up in the chat room, but I was starting off my whole monologue like, welcome to the Looney Tunes. Oh, no, I meant Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio, Pundit Press, Kinetic Hi-Fi, The Fix FM, Patriot Radio Network, TeaPartyCommunity.com, Ghost Fighter Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and more to come. Okay. I'm along with my co-host, Dan, the Butcher of Pundit Press, and Kel Fritzy of Red Fox Radio. Oh, my goodness. We're starting off great. We're just starting off great. I mean, last show was a show to never forget, the show from hell, which thankfully, God bless, I have such a wonderful friend over there in Toronto area. Cal remixed it, took out all the blank spots and all the areas that BTR messed us up and put it back up there so it comes out such a beautiful, wonderful show. Thank you. And there goes the power in my house. Are you still there?
We are still here.
We're
Annie,
still
if we
here.
Lose you, if we lose you, Kel and I will carry on.
I swear, the power just flashed.
Dan and Kelsall.
So the power just flashed, and my backup computer went down, and it's now rebooting. thankfully, I've got this on a UBS, and if power should go off, it gives me a couple of minutes. But, oh, it's going to be one of those days, guys. I got a thunderstorm coming in. So where BTR left off, the good Lord's taking over.
Hey, I have a question. Why are we all purple?
Oh,
did you notice that?
Are we all purple in the chat room?
Did you do that?
Well, what I did was I changed it on the main page for Southern Sense so that when you see my logo up on the top of Southern Sense, you see a purple frame around it. I wanted something to stick out. But I guess it affected what we do in the chat room. But
oh,
you know,
yes,
really
we're
cool.
All purple.
Very busy.
Oh, well. All right, welcome to the Looney Tunes Hour here on Southern Sense. Where seriousness is not going to happen today, guys. It is not. Well, actually, we do have to have one moment of seriousness. For those that do listen to the show, know that we start off with a dedication to a fallen hero. And a story came across my eye the other day when I was doing some research. And I said, you know, there are the forgotten heroes out there, the ones that have fought for us, for our country, and lay in unmarked graves in unknown faces and names. And to them, I picked out a group that no one ever really speaks about, no one talks about. And these are the women soldiers of the American Civil War. In the past, I have spoken about the American women that fought in the Revolutionary War, but there were also women that fought in the American Civil War. And if we will pull up, I'm going to pull up the Army taps with this one, and let's see if we can bring this up a little bit. All right, this is written by Deanne Blanton back in 1993, and I'm only taking some excerpts out of it. It is an accepted convention that the Civil War was a man's fight. Images of women during that conflict center on self-sacrificing nurses, romantic spies, or brave ladies maintaining the home front in the absence of their men. The men, of course, marched off to war, lived in germ-ridden camps, engaged in heinous battle, languished in appalling prison camps, and died horribly, yet heroically. This conventional picture of gender roles during the Civil War does not tell the entire story. Men were not the only ones to fight that war. Women bore arms and charged into battle too. Like the men, there were women who lived in camps, suffered in prisons, and died for their respective causes. Both in the Union and Confederate armies forbade the enlistment of women. Women soldiers of the Civil War therefore assumed masculine names, disguised themselves as men, and hid the fact they were female because they passed as men. It's impossible to know with any certainty how many women soldiers served in the Civil War. Estimates place as many as 250 women in the ranks of the Confederate Army. Writing in 1988, Mary Livermore of the U.S. Sanctuary Commission remembered that someone has started the number of women known to service as little as 400. I cannot vouch for the correctness of this estimate, but I am convinced that a larger number of women disguised themselves and enlisted in the service for one cause or the other that was dreamed of. Entrenched in secrecy and regarded as men, they were sometimes revealed as women by accident or casualty. Some startling histories of these military women were current in the gossip of Army life. The Army, however, held no regard for women soldiers, Union or Confederate. Indeed, despite recorded evidence to the contrary, the U.S. Army tried to deny that women played a military role, however small, in the Civil War. In October 21 of 1909, Ida Tarbell of the American Magazine wrote to General F.C. Ainsworth, the Adjutant General, "I am anxious to know whether your department has any record of the number of women who enlisted and served in the Civil War, or has it any record of any woman who were in service?" She received swift reply from the Records and Pensions Office, a division of the Adjutant General's office. "I have the honor to inform you that no official record has been found in the War Department showing specifically that any woman has ever enlisted in the military service of the United States
as a member of any organization of the regular or voluntary army at any time during the period of the Civil War. It is possible, however, that there may have been a few instances of women having served as soldiers for a short time without their sex having been detected, but no record of such cases is known to exist in the official files. This response to Mrs. Turbill's request is untrue. One of the duties of the AGO was the maintenance of the U.S. Army archives, and the AGO took good care of the extant records created during that conflict. By 1909, the AGO also created compiled military service records for the participants of the Civil War, both Union and Confederate, through painstakingly copying of names and remarks from official documents. And this one person, Francis Day, was one of these women. William Fitzpatrick enlisted in the 126th Pennsylvania Infantry, but died in a Virginia hospital in 1862. Not until many years later, it was discovered that Sergeant Frank Name, who deserted after Fitzpatrick's death, was really Frances Day, who had joined the infantry to be with her boyfriend. The 126th Regiment keeps a record, and I pulled that up. The 126th Regiment was raised in July-August 1862 and organized at Camp Curtin under the command of Colonel James G. Elder. Two of the companies were made up of Juniata men. In the spring of 1863, under the command of General Hooker, the regiment left camp on the 27th of April and reached Chancellorsville on the 1st of May. The next day, the regiment, along with the rest of Tyler's brigade, took position on the heights near Rappahannock and remained there through the night while Confederates were charging the line by the 11th Corps. The next day, May 3rd, the regiment moved right towards Ely's Pond and were assaulted by a superior force charging in double line. They held their position until the last of the ammunition was gone, whereupon they were forced to yield ground and retire, suffering a loss of 53 killed and wounded and 11 taken prisoner. The remaining men were posted in support of batteries and remained inactive to the end of the battle, as their enlistment expired in 5 days. The regiment was mustered out of service at Harrisburg on the 20th of May. Enlisted there was Maine Frank, or Day Francis, sergeant, mustered in 9 August 1862, deserted 24 August 1862, later killed in battle. But then I found this. This was written as part of a report of the regiment. A melancholy but romantic incident which occurred at this time is thus related by Judge Rowe in his sketch of the regiment. Before we follow the regiment from Washington, a bit of romance connected with its history is to be chronicled. William Fitzpatrick of Western Virginia loved, or was loved, by Francis Day. Fitzpatrick enlisted in Company F from Juniata County and went to the war with the 126th Regiment. In a short time, he fell ill, and on the 24th of August, 1862, whilst the regiment lay at Clouds Mill, he died at the hospital at Alexandria. On the day he died, Frank Maine, a sergeant of Company F, unaccountably deserted. When he enlisted, he was a stranger to all the men of that company, but in a few days, he had so ingratiated himself with his comrades and officers as to be promoted to sergeant. He was not heard of anymore while the regiment remained in service. But long after, in the far west, a soldier badly wounded in a great battle could not conceal her sex, and Frances Day then told how she had followed Fitzpatrick into the army and became herself a soldier and a sergeant in the 126th Pennsylvania Volunteers. Of her desertion upon her lover's death and the abandonment and despair which led her back again to seek the ranks of the army. To verify her stories, letters were written to the officers of Company F at Mifflin, and thus the mystery of the sergeant's desertion was dispelled. This show is dedicated to all these brave women, wherever they may lie, unknown, unnamed, but they are not forgotten. They remain in our hearts, and to them we dedicate this show, and we will dedicate this song by Todd Allen Herndon, My Name is America, and Todd Allen Herndon himself will be joining us very shortly. God bless them all, and thank you for joining us.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. I stand for my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand for.
Pundit Press, Kinetic Hi-Fi, The Fix FM, Patriot Radio Network, TeaPartyCommunity.com, Ghost Fighter Radio. Welcome back. And I see people are in the chat room dancing. Thank you very much. And Dan and Kel, we've got the person that is responsible for that song, the artist himself, Todd Allen Herndon. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hello, Anne. How is everyone?
Oh. Hi, Todd.
We're a little Looney Tunes today.
Well, that's
just a little.
That's the entertainment business.
Well,
oh, I was just singing right along. This is one of the Annie's show is always the highlight of my day, but that particular segment Annie plays that just has me singing at the top of my lungs, scaring my dog and my cat. But Todd Allen Henredine, it's an honor to meet you, sir. Thank you so very much for
an honor
beautiful,
to be on
beautiful
the show today.
True story, during that song, my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter and I were literally, I took my headset off and we turned it up and we were literally dancing in the middle of my office here.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I love it.
Wonderful to have Todd today.
I don't know how much of the story you know behind it, but Kurt Orning from Minnesota wrote the song. And he sent it to a publishing company in Nashville, and they called me and said they had a song that fit my voice and style. Would I come and record it? And so I went, and when I heard the demo on it, I couldn't believe it. I just was so moved by the song and by the lyrics that I was just thanking the Lord that I had this opportunity to record such a dynamic song. And so... It's done great things for, first off, our country, I guess, but for me and my career, it's been good for us.
That it is, that it has. Because the first time you came on the show was very shortly after that it was first released. Gosh, how long ago was that?
2011, I think it was, August or September of 2011,
Wow.
So, 3 years?
3 years ago. I mean, time flies when you're having fun, right?
It does.
And since then, your career has actually taken off. You've got a new release called God and Country. And on there, I love the cover. It's got the front cover has you walking into a church with a tattered American flag next to it. And underneath it says, there's still hope. And then on the back cover, there you are exiting triumphantly, and the flag is restored. Who thought of that cover?
Well, actually, I did. We were coming out of the recording studio for that CD, and we were on our way home, my wife and I. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had told her, I said, you know, we have to come up with a cover for this CD, and... because it's titled God and Country, which, as you know, Ann, it's half patriotic songs and half gospel music, I had thrown out a concept, and believe it or not, here's what happened. I said, you know, every time we went into the studio, we've had a word of prayer over this CD and the work we were going to do. I said, let's just pray now, you and I. And we were driving down the road, and we said a prayer. And within a minute and a half, I had that idea. And the whole concept of the CD is, as you said, if you look at the cover, and I'm happy that you spotted it, because I wonder if people see it, but you did. I wanted it to tell a two-page story. And the front is I'm all in black with the weight of it's an American guitar hanging on my back. I'm walking into a church, and if you look at the church, it's not painted, it's faded. The flag is tattered and torn. The letters in the directory box are crooked. And it's like nobody's taking care of the church. The guy is he's beaten down. Nobody's kept the flag up. Just the whole front of it is a beaten down man with the weight of America, and the church just isn't. And when you and as you said on the bottom, it says there's still hope. And on the back, he's coming out victorious. The flag is restored. The church is painted. The letters are straightened. And at the bottom, it says, for you and America. So there's still hope for you and America. And it was a two-page story, and it was about a minute and a half that whole concept came to me.
I would say it was divine intervention that came to you, honestly, because I absolutely loved it. Because the front of it, the first thing that came to my mind was Johnny Cash. That
uh-huh.
look was just completely Johnny Cash. And then when you come out
yep.
the front, knowing you as I do, this is typical Todd. Absolutely, down to the boots. And I love your boots. You got some fantastic boots.
I got those in Texas.
Oh, man. I mean, how many pairs do you have?
Well, that's a good question. More than I really need, I think. But I can't help it. I just see them and I think, man, these are just fitting for whatever we're doing. And so I just get them.
Now, it's
I'm like a woman. My closet. You should see it.
The Mills and Marcus of cowboy boots.
Well, Todd, I live in Texas. You can't have too many pairs of boots, man.
That's true. You know, you guys. Hey, listen, we were out in Texas around Tyler area last fall and did three or four events out through more East Texas. And I'll tell you, what I love about Texas, the people are great, but those people out there, they love God, country, and football. Now, it may be football, God, and country, but they are true to God and to country out there. I love it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've only flown through Texas. I've never actually stopped there. But one of these days, my husband and I are going to pack up, and we're going to take a ride out there. Now, this is your own recording album, isn't it, Straight Arrows Records?
Yeah, that's our music group. They're based out of Florida, but they used to have three studios in Nashville, and they've relocated. But yeah, Straight Arrow Music Group is a group of publishing, recording, and album.
All right. Now I put up in the chat room the link to it, but your website is your name actually. www.toddallenherendon.com, and there's a double E at the end. It's H-E-R-E-N-D-E-E-N. It's also up on the show page, and all people have to do is basically just write Google the name Todd and I Am America, and your site will pop up, right?
Yeah, it kind of comes up under several things. You can type in Todd, My Name is America. You can type in Todd Allen Show. I somehow or another it tends to come up on a whole bunch of different stuff. Some things I don't want it to, but
no. You're right now, you're doing a tour across the country, and I believe your wife and son are traveling with you too?
Yeah, my son plays lead guitar in the group. He's 26 now. And he's been playing guitar for us since he was 18. And, of course, my wife, you know, she's been a part of the group. And so we just recently, this is the cool thing, we had a chance to buy Garth Brooks's tour bus from the one he retired when he retired in 2005, and it went into a building, and we ran across it through another individual, and Garth was real good to us and sold us at a great deal. And so we're actually touring in Garth Brooks' retired tour bus.
And it is, you know, a God and Country tour, right?
Yes. We just recently, in the month of July, we were in New York, a couple of dates in Ohio, a couple in Indiana, Michigan, Sapphire Valley, North Carolina, near you, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, South Florida, and I don't know, several stops in between, but then we do a lot in Florida also because that's where we're based out of.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to play one of the cuts, one of the ones I happen to have liked a lot, and let me just pull this up. It was... let me see if I can find it. It was track number 7, which I think really says what the whole album is about. And I think it just went a little too far. Come on, where is it? Track 4, 5. Here we go. And this one is called God Bless America Again. I love this one. And I think it really does give the whole idea of exactly what you want meant to get across in the album. So this is track 7.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, I was going to say, Bobby Bear wrote this song back in the late 50s. And Bobby Bear and Loretta Lynn used to do this. And then I believe Loretta and Conway did it. And it's kind of a lost song, but it is a great song. My wife did an incredible job of singing Loretta's part on it. So just to kind of set the stage for the song.
Yeah, your wife and the teeth in back was Angel. She really is an angel. When I saw you guys performing on stage, was it 2 years ago now? Is it really that long ago?
I believe it was.
Wow. And what a dynamic. the energy that comes off the group, and when you see all of you there playing, you just can't help but love America. So let me play this song again, God Bless America again. Here we go.
Gave us, we took for granted. We asked you to leave, and now look at the mess we're in. So God, I invite you back to bless America again. You know, God's Word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if His people, which are called by His name, shall humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then He will hear us, forgive our sin, and heal our land. So let that be our prayer, so God can bless America again.
God bless America again. You see all the trouble.
Fantastic song, and really, she does such justice to it. The female vocal part. I mean, Angel is just such a beautiful voice. Yeah, you two are such a wonderful couple, anyway.
Well, she, in her voice, you can sort of hear the pain for where we're at. That's what I like about it. She's really delivers that painful stress sound. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do. And that's the difference between someone that sings and a singer. People don't understand that. You know, you can say the words and the notes, but unless you put your heart and soul into the song itself, you're not singing. you're just, you know, it's just a performance. It's not actually communicating what the song is about. And, you know, that's something that that gets me, when you can hear that in a person's voice. That's the difference between someone that's eh and someone that's wow. And you two are wow.
Well, I appreciate that. That's great compliments. But you're exactly right. When we learn a new song, typically the first couple times you do it, you're almost not really performing it because you're trying to remember the words correctly, or the musicians are trying to remember the structure of the song. But about the third or fourth time, when you know the whole thing, now you can start putting yourself into it and selling a song. And and that's the cool thing about music is you can do that. You can put more than just your voice in it. You can put your feelings and your emotions and the way you feel about what's happening on that song, whether it's a happy song or a sad song or a passionate song, you know. You get to put your feelings into it, and that's what really makes it what it is. You're exactly right.
Yeah, it's funny because I know when I first met you, back then at the first Tea Party convention in Myrtle Beach, you know, I had mentioned to you that I had used to do a little stage, you know, amateur stage and amateur singing, and I used to play classical violin. So I understand the need to put your emotion into it. And when I try to learn like a new gospel hymn or something like that, I can't help but, you know, feel the whole song as you're saying the words, because the words have meaning. They're just not there for, you know, making it pretty sound. They have a purpose. They have a meaning. And trying to get through a lot of them without crying while you're singing is a very difficult thing. So God bless Angel, jeez, that she was able to do it.
Yeah, she, and we do that a lot of the programs we do, and that's one of those showstoppers. The title of the CD, God and Country, there's actually a song on there called God and Country. And,
don't get ahead of me.
Okay. All right. Well, then I won't go that far yet, but I'll share that a little bit later because there's a story behind it. But okay, then if I can't get ahead of you, where are we at now in the program?
Well, Annie, I will say this. While I was listening to Todd singing with his wife, it reminded me, you could hear, you know, the passion of the music coming through, how they really were performing the song, how they loved performing together. It reminded me a lot of how Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash used to perform together. Of all of the great duos that have performed together, you know, in country music over the years, whether it was, Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn or George Jones and Tammy Wynette, the two that really stood out the most and that you really got to feel that they really enjoyed singing together was Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash, because you could just tell that they loved each other and loved performing together. And when I was listening to that song, that is the impression that I got.
Well, that's
I thought the exact same
feel.
Thing. Yeah, beautiful. Just beautiful.
Well, go ahead, Tom.
Well, yeah, that's the way we feel. We, you know, God put us together for a reason, and we believe part of the reason is to deliver some music and a message through the music and through our lives, actually, without preaching at people, allowing them to see us in a way that that people would say there's something unique and different but good about you guys. And it's so, you know, I appreciate that because that's what we hope for. But, you know, don't get confused now. Angel, Lucifer was an angel too. You know, she's sitting
over
there.
Don't forget, I got your home phone number.
Yeah, she's listening to all this on the computer in the other room. I am dead.
Angel, I'll back you up. Just tell me which one of the firearms you want. I'll send it down.
Oh, we got them here.
Oh, wow. Now, you have 20 songs on the CD. Normally when people, issue a brand new release, you get maybe, if you're lucky, 7, 8, 12. But you've got 15 songs on it, and then you give an additional bonus 5. What made you do that instead of releasing 2 separate CDs?
Well, it's kind of what you just said. Sometimes I get aggravated that, I know the world is about making a living. I understand that. But we've shortchanged people, and I know my one CD isn't going to change the world, but we shortchange people on everything in this world, it seems like. And when we put it together, I said, I'm going to give something to people that I want to give something to people that not only ministers to their heart, that it brings some thought about America, it brings thought about God and veterans, but also that, when you're going down the road in 30 minutes, it's not over with. You've got an extra bunch of songs there, and you can travel and just enjoy them. And so I wanted to really give people their money's worth on something. Sometimes I don't, even though I get a good song or two on a CD, I don't ever get my money's worth. And I wanted people to really get their money's worth. And so we did that. And the bonus tracks were a live show that we did with the Jordanaires, which were actually Elvis's original backup singers, although they backed up Patsy Cline, and they backed up, all the country artists, most of them, especially in the late 50s and through the 60s, the Jordanaires' voice. I mean, their voice is on Crazy. People don't realize they're the backup singers doing the oohs and ahs on the song Crazy for Patsy Cline. Well, anyways, we recorded them live, and so we put those live bonus songs on there, and people just love it,
You actually got one of my favorite hymns on there, and I'll talk to you about that. As a matter of fact, it's one of the hymns that I have a hard time, because you do the first and fourth verse on it, and when we do it, we do all four. And going through that progression, by the time you hit the third verse, I'm already in tears. So by the time you hit the last one and you're doing the jubilation, and it's like, oh, all right, where's the handkerchief?
Yeah.
But you've got a song on there, track 2. You've actually got 2 different backup groups on this one. You've got Highway 96. Tell us something about them.
Well, Highway 96, I met the bass singer from Nashville, Tennessee. His name's Ronnie Knight. And he reluctantly, if you don't mind me, I'll share the story. They have a condo in Panama City Beach, and he reluctantly came and saw us. His wife wanted to see the show, and he didn't really want to go because he had sang with great gospel quartets over the years, from the Blackwood Brothers to Jake Hess, Hovey Lister. He was best friends with J.D. Sumner, who was J.D. Sumner and the Stamps, who backed Elvis up, and he and J.D. were great buddies, so he just didn't have a real interest in coming to the show. And his wife finally one night said, listen, we're not doing anything. We're going to that show. And he went and fell in love with it. And so we got to know them a little bit and started going to dinner with them once in a while, and while they were in Florida. And finally he called me and he said, we're going to be in town. You want a bass singer on your show tonight? And I said, sure. He said, well, let me see if I can find a good one. So he came on the show, and come to find out, he had a quartet of his own. And so when we went to do the CD, I said, well, why don't you and your quartet do the backup vocals on this? And so they came in, and we went in the studio, and I told them, I said, we're going to do some old-time gospel music with a little bit different musical twist to it. But I want the background vocals to be different. I don't want them to be like your traditional backups. I want you to get creative, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. I just want you guys to create it. And that's what they did. They just created some stuff on there that I think is just great. It modernizes a little bit the sound of the old gospel, and people really like it. And so So they did a great job, and that's kind of how they got involved in that. And we've done some performances with them also, and so just a lot of fun with them. And we even just recently, he had us come to Nashville and do a performance at the First United Methodist Church, a big church, and we had a 20-member choir behind us. There was an all 20-member black choir, and we did a lot of those hit songs that are on there, and it was just unbelievable. So we're going to do more work with them also.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I see my pastor on Sunday, I'm going to see if I can get him to get you to come up here, because I'll tell you, we've hosted a lot of fantastic groups. They had the Naval Academy Choir, the men's choir here, and the acoustics. The church that I go to is actually built 1712.
Wow.
And it was, do you remember the church that was burnt in Gone with the Wind?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That was our chapel. That's up here in Yenisei, South Carolina. And
wow.
The second Sunday after every Easter, we hold our services there. Matter of fact, my husband and I transport the altar and the chairs up there all the time in the last couple of years. But, yeah, it
wow,
is a beautiful
that's great,
service.
Though.
But I'm gonna talk to him and see about having you come up and your group perform, because I think it would be something different. You know, you can have, like, different choral groups and, you know, piano concerts and things like that, but to have you to come in there, I think it would really rock the church. But talking about rocking, go ahead.
I was going to say, we'd love to come. We're going to be in the North Carolina area around Pinehurst, North Carolina, first weekend or second weekend in November. And so just throwing out an idea of it might be a way to tie something in if he can...
Excellent. I'll talk to him. I'll talk to him, and he'll probably work with our music coordinator, who happens to, I swear, we have one of the best choirs. And one Sunday just last year, the power went out. We had a bad storm coming through. They lost all power, and it was the first service. And so they had no organ, nothing to work with. They just did it, their voices. And as I understand, it sounded like angels singing.
Oh, man,
you
I
never
love
know.
That.
So anyway, talking about angels singing, I'm going to be playing the second track of your record, I'll Fly Away. It's got a little of everything in it, and that's why I put it up as the second part to a play, because I just happened to love it. The first time I heard it, I said, whoa, I had to stop and go back and listen to it a second time. So here's your track number two of I'll Fly Away from the album God and Country by Todd Allen Herndon. Here we go.
When this life is over, I'll fly away,
gonna fly away,
to that home on God's celestial shores, I'll fly away. And then
I'll fly away.
McCormick, and he is an unbelievable musician. He and his family were the McCormick gospel singers back in the 1960s and early 70s. He was just a young man, but his mother and father and family traveled the country as the McCormick gospel singers, and so he had been in the gospel music end of it his whole life, but man, he can play a piano, as you just heard.
Oh, man. Matter of fact, you credit him as being, and it took me a while to decipher this because your autograph went right across the line, so I had to sit there for a few minutes. He actually helped produce the CD, right?
Yeah, his family had the three studios up in Nashville for years. And so he has a studio down here. Actually, it's the old Oak Ridge Boys studio that was in Hendersonville, Indiana. And, yeah, Hendersonville, Indiana. Hendersonville, Tennessee. And Ricky Skaggs bought the studio. Well, Tommy, the piano player, is friends with Ricky. And Ricky called him up and said, Tommy, we're going to tear the studio down, or not tear it down, but gut it out, and we're going to redo it. You want any of this stuff? So Tommy went up there and basically took pictures of the studio and tore it out. And I mean, the most all of that studio is the wood, the glass, the sound baffles, the speakers that the Oaks recorded on, and even like Elvira was recorded on all that stuff. So that studio is designed with and around the same feel and look that the Oak Ridge Boys had, and it is an incredible studio.
Wow. I mean, who is it you don't know?
Well, you know, what's funny is when I started out in the mid-90s in music, I didn't have a clue what I was doing, and I don't know that I really still do, but never dreaming, you know, I thought I was going to do it just for fun, make, you know, an extra $50 on the weekend, singing with tapes. And back then we didn't have CDs, it was cassette tapes. And then all of a sudden, it just, a few things clicked. You remember the McCoys? They had the hit, Hang On Sloopy, Sloopy Hang On.
Yep, absolutely. I'm dating myself.
That was their big hit. Yeah, well, he actually saw me sing one time. He was the drummer for the McCoys. And he saw me sing one time, and he said, man, you're good. He said, if you put a band together, he was getting ready to put on a rock and roll legends show. He had Chuck Berry there and Jerry Lee Lewis and Chubby Checker and, oh, gosh, the Platters, the Four Tops, at this Legends outdoor Legends concert. And he said, if you'll put a band together, and this was 1999, He said, I'll let you be the opener because you're good. He said, I just really want to see you take off. And so that's when I formed a band and did that opening show. And the funny thing was, it was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And the Fort Wayne paper the next day, which was a pretty good-sized paper, the headlines were Chubby Checker and local artists Todd Allen Herndon were by far the crowd favorites. And that kind of really got us started, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at some of the remarks that are coming up in the chat room, and they're really funny. But now that I just lost my train of thought, oh, yeah, you actually opened for Foreigner.
Yes, twice. The promoter called me up. He had seen us also. And he saw me do some Johnny Cash stuff and some Roy Orbison stuff and Neil Diamond stuff and Elvis stuff. And he said, I got Foreigner coming to town. I believe you could put together a classic rock set that would fit what they're doing. And I was thinking, really? So we did. We put together a couple REO Speedwagon songs and Styx, Babe, song Babe, and Steve Miller, and did a couple of our own songs. But we did the opener for Foreigner, and the place went crazy. They loved us. Well, Foreigner thanked us, the management for Foreigner thanked us. They said, you know, we hire a lot of classic rock groups, and they come out and they try to be Led Zeppelin or somebody like that. And they said, you went out there and gave them just a variety of stuff that we just really appreciated you doing. Well, they came to town about 2 years later, and with the promoter, they requested, they said, listen, whoever you had do the opener last time we were in town, that's who we'd like to have do it again. Those guys done a great job for us. And so that's how we got to do it twice. But, it's just weird, you know. You do things and you never think it may lead to something else, but next thing you know, you're doing for Foreigner. Well, the promoter who had the Foreigner show brought B.B. King in, and he had us open for B.B. King because he said, you know what, you did such a great job. I bet you could make a set that would fit opening for him. And I love B.B. King because the first time I saw him was on Sanford and Son back in the 70s.
And, oh, God.
Do you remember that? Anybody?
Oh, man. Yes, I do.
Well, the cool thing was we did the opener. Well, here's what was cool is we did the show, and then afterwards, B.B. Invited us to the back of his tour bus, and we sat on the back of his tour bus and he was 88 years old at the time, and we just sat and talked like he was just a normal guy, and visited and had just a great time with him, and really a nice man and a good band. They were all so friendly, and we sat in the bus. They asked if we wanted water or coffee or, you know, a soft drink, and just treated us real good. So we just never know what's going to lead to the next thing.
No, we don't. But I do have to try to make a few dollars here, so I will be back in 1 minute, 5 seconds. I must play my ad and try to get my money back from this place.
Seven right. Cents is now being sponsored by Audible Books. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of these online books. You know, I don't like, you know, having to download them and sit in front of a computer or my smartphone or something and read. But I checked out Audible, and I was amazed. If you go to audibletrials.com/southerncents, you get a 30-day free trial. Now, I tried it out, and I wanted, because you get a free book if you download, and I decided, what book am I going to download? So I thought, what do I not have time to read that I can listen to and be enriched? And I downloaded the Federalist Papers. Now, this is a 3-volume, 9 hours of recording, 30-some-odd dollar value I got for free. So check out audibletrial.com/southerncents and download your own free book. All right, and we're back with Todd Allen Herndon and my co-host Dan and Kel. And I'm having so much fun. I love shows that we do like this, and I don't really have to work at. So, Todd, thank you. And, you know, I think the very first time you came on the show, I gave you a one heck of a zinger. I believe it happened to have been on your birthday. And I dug up a YouTube video where you were singing happy birthday to a girl on stage. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that, actually. I've been meaning to pay you back.
Oh, man. Well, we do have a caller coming in. Go ahead, Dan, before I bring the caller on.
Well, I just want to ask, Todd real quick. You know, Todd, I'm from Amarillo, Texas, and I actually graduated from the same high school as J.D. Sumner did. He graduated from Tascosa High School here in Amarillo, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing him and such. And you have such a long list of folks that you have worked with over the years. And who are your biggest influences musically? You know, who has had the biggest influence on your music and on your career?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint one, but I think I'm a big Elvis fan, but I'm a big Ronnie Milsap fan. And my favorite artists are pure vocalists, like the Elvis or the Ronnie Milsaps or the Roy Orbisons. Those guys just... They knew how to work their voice and use that as an instrument. And so those are the influences that I like, real pure vocalists. I just really, nowadays people are not really, and I don't want to beat anybody up, but there are a lot of singers out there that just are not singers. And if they didn't have money backing them somewhere, we wouldn't even hear them on the radio. And in the old days, they had to be just pure good singers, mostly, you know. And so those are who I enjoy. And I enjoy the creativity of the people back then. You know, the J.D. Sumners in the gospel quartet world, they created a lot of that stuff that we use today, or even the Elvises or Roy Orbisons or Buddy Hollies or Neil Diamond, really one of the greatest songwriters we've ever had. They just created all that, and today it's manufactured. Back then they were creative, and that's what I really like, is the creativity of not just their talent but their voice.
Yeah, and I have to correct... And I have to correct myself real quick. It's not J.D. Sumner who is from Amarillo. It's J.D. Souther, who was a big influence on the Eagles and co-wrote a bunch of songs like that, that's from Amarillo. So I need to correct myself on that real quick.
Okay. I didn't know where he was from, so I just said, oh, great, he knows J.D.
Well, you know, Todd, the difference between today's singers and those in the past, today they've got all these little gadgets to make it sound like they're really producing something fantastic. In the past, you either had talent and you succeeded, or you didn't have talent and you got kicked off the stage. You know, you had to have that talent in order to succeed. Today, I mean, you got little pyrotechnics and little other things to ooh and ah the people, and then you can make money. And to me, a lot of it is not talent out there, and it's really sad.
Well, to tie to that, in 2004, we did some stuff with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, and we only did that through his drummer. We had gotten to know Tim's drummer, after one of the shows, I was talking to Tim, and he said, you know, we almost can't hit a bad note because there's a pitch corrector behind us immediately correcting what we're doing. And he was almost, he wasn't for the system. He was for the true talent. But he just openly said, you know, it's very hard for us live or in the studio to hit a bad note because there's a machine that's going to correct that note. And I thought, man, how sad is that, you know, that people don't the natural, sometimes the bad note, especially in a live performance, not on record, but live, it's kind of, if you can make a joke out of it, people like that. They like to know that you can hit a wrong note, you know, or somebody did. And but this day and age, it's so electronic anymore that it's just, and you really see it's the system suffering, I think. Country music isn't country music anymore, and the whole music industry is really struggling to find what they are anymore. And I know what they could do. They could go back to old school, and people would enjoy it a whole lot better.
Yeah, it's true. And it's funny because I have perfect pitch. So when I hear myself singing, and all of a sudden I sometimes have a problem transitioning from alto going to soprano if it's a big jump, and I'll hear myself, and I have to cringe. It's like, oh, no. And then you have to force yourself to go back until you can get that to slide just nicely. But let me bring this caller in. It's area code 334. You're on the air live with Southern Sense and our guest, Todd Allen Herndon. Who am I speaking to?
This is Linda Sakers. Hi, Todd.
Oh, my Lord. And save us.
I just wanted to let you know I am listening to you. I'm loving the show. And if you've never seen Todd in concert, if you've never seen a God in Country concert, put that on your bucket list. He is awesome.
And he knows how much
I love him. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know I'm listening to you.
Well, I'm glad you are. That's in Alabama, Prattville, Alabama area.
Yes.
And
well, actually,
Linda
Montgomery.
Montgomery?
Montgomery now, yeah. So.
What did you do?
No,
did you get
Prattville.
Kicked out of Prattville? They run you out of there?
No. You're too funny. But I'm sitting here now looking at the picture of you and Angel online as they're flashing the pictures. So, anyway. But I just want to let you know I was listening to you. You should have known that.
Linda, I am glad you are. And Linda is one of the neat people that we've been able to meet over the years. She just comes out and shows up with friends. I didn't even know she had friends, but she does have a few friends, and she brings them out to the show, and has just been a real sweetheart with us, and we appreciate you. Thanks for listening, though.
Well, you're very welcome. I didn't want to be put on the air because, you know, I'm very shy, but anyway, I'm going to go and listen to the show, and y'all just have a good day, and God bless all of you.
Oh, God bless
you.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
You've got a lot of great, great fans. And, you know, I really was tempted to put up on the video that is playing the picture of you, Todd, when you were sitting on Jerry McDaniel's lap singing to her at the last convention that you were at. I was tempted, but, you know, it is up on the Beaufort Tea Party website, and I think Jerry has it up on hers website, the Myrtle Beach Tea Party.
Is that where I was singing Hello, Darling to her?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, within about 20 minutes after you did that, I already had it up on Facebook because I had taken it with my iPhone.
You're so bad, Annie.
Oh, man. But it's true. To see you in concert is an absolute pleasure. You know, some groups can go out and do a concert, and they're just, all right, watching their watches. All right, we got one set left, and then we're off the stage. But you actually enjoy being up there to the point where the crowd feels that energy, and they are in their own way participating. You know, they're up there clapping, dancing, or singing along, and it's like a big party, one of your concerts.
Well, you know, I think that's part of show business is getting people involved immediately, and I want everyone in the room to not have to think about any problem they may have at the moment. You know, we all have issues in our lives. We're dealing with some things, and it may be a financial issue, it may be a health issue, it may be a kid issue, it may be a spouse, husband, wife. It may be a job. It may be something. But we're all dealing in life with something. And for the time that I'm there, I don't want anyone, including myself, to think about those issues. I want us to laugh, have fun, and forget for the 90 minutes or 2 hours or 1 hour, whatever it is, all those problems and be focused on what we're doing at the moment and take our minds off of stuff. And so that's really what my mindset is when I go out on stage, is I don't want them to think about the mortgage payment that's due or the cancer that I've been diagnosed with. You know, and I don't want them to think about that. For 2 hours, I want their mind on something fun. And that's my goal when I hit it.
And that you do succeed at. Go ahead, Dan, because I want to get to track five, the Battle Hymn Republic. But go ahead, Dan, before we get into that.
Todd, we've had a lot of people, you know, say that you remind them, in the chat room and such, say that you remind them of that you remind them of Elvis in the way you perform and the way you sing and such. You know, and you know, when Elvis used to perform, that was always his great, you know, when he was at his best, when he was at his happiness, it was on stage when he was out there performing from the fan, for the fans. And you definitely could see the passion with which he, you know, performed his music and the way he fed off the fans. You know, when you're giving a show such as that, and of course you're going out there and performing, and you know, you're trying, you want to, you know, make the, you said you want to make the fans escape from, you know, reality for a couple hours. You know, do you feed off of the fans when you're performing? Does that energize your performance?
Absolutely, and the group for sure, the band and the backup singers. They can tell you that there are many, many nights, because we do this about 200 times a year, that I'm like everybody else going to work, dreading it. And even seconds before the curtains open, we may be behind the curtain, me going, man, I ain't up for this tonight. You know, I'm tired or whatever. But as soon as that first note is hit and that curtain opens, somehow or another, magically, it all changes. There's an energy that comes from the audience, and there's just something about the music fires up, and it's live, and you can't really even describe it, but all of a sudden you may be running a fever, but all of a sudden you don't notice the fever anymore. You just are on, and we do that at our little level, you know, of several hundred people, but. Think about Elvis doing it for 10, 15,000 people, or, you know, whoever's out there today. But, and Elvis was such a dynamic figure that he's one of the few that could be rock and roll, country, gospel, rhythm and blues, and pop all in one show. And so he just, and I think he felt that too. You know, as the stories have gone on over history, he didn't feel good all the time, especially later in his life. But once he hit that stage, there was something about the energy of the room and the passion to please everyone that just, I don't know, if you can't even describe it. I can't. There's nothing you can describe to say, here's how it works.
No, that's very true, because once you do get up on stage, you can actually feel the reaction of the audience. And if you're really bad, you feel it. You can feel it. But I want to get into the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Now, to be quite honest, the day that the CD finally came in, and that's a long story, but when it finally did arrive, I hadn't been listening to another show that's up on Pundit Press, The Underground Professor, and I was so excited about it, and I actually had called in, and I played two of the cuts. And one of the cuts I played, which I fell in love with, was the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And you do it in such an interesting and way that just blew me away.
Well, to set the stage for the song, when we were in the studio and we wanted to do it, I said, this is such a great song. I said, I want to do it a little bit the way Ray Charles might do it, but I want it to be a story. And then... again, with the backup singers, Ronnie and the group, I said, now, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but give it something that would just really put it over the top. And so that's how this thing came about.
It really does. And let me put this on then, and that was, where was the track? That was, I just lost my place. Oh, it was track five I was looking
track
for.
Five.
Yeah, this is live radio at its best. I had moved it up just so I can play my commercial. Now I got to move it back down, and here we go. The Battle Hymn of the Republic, track five on God and Country by Todd Allen Harris.
Let me tell you a little story. Now the words to this story were written way back in 1861. But this story is about an event that happened really over 2,000 years ago. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming. Vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has produced the faithful lightning of his terror bolts with swords. His truth is marching on. There's more to this story. He sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He's sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer.
Hello.
absolutely awesome. And I love the progression. I'm assuming that's Tommy McCormick on the keyboards again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He played all but the Jordanaire stuff. He played all those tracks.
Oh, man. Now, Kel, you had a question just before we went to the song. Kel, unmute yourself.
I do. I did.
Go ahead.
I am so very much enjoying this program, and the time is just whipping by. But, Todd, I wanted to ask you a question. In doing my radio show, I have an opportunity to speak with so many people, and one in particular I speak with quite often is Ava Aston, and her signature song is We the People. I'm wondering if you've ever had an opportunity to meet her.
What's her name again?
Ava Aston.
Ava Aston. I'm not sure I have, but the song We the People, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Was that the title to her song?
Yeah, I think it's What's Going On.
I've seen it. I've heard it on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. She's wonderful, though, but I just love patriot singers, and I love the patriotism of the people in the United States. And one other artist I'm very fond of is Lee Greenwood, and he is the one, of course, who penned the song God Bless the USA. And that became, it was re-released after September 11th of 2001. I think that America is really getting back to their patriotic grassroots, because there's a lot of international strife out there. The current administration is engaged in a lot of destabilization. So when I listen to you and your songs, I find it quite inspiring. And thanks, Annie.
Oh, no. I say thank you. Because this is so much fun. We do have a caller coming in, Todd, and it's the same area code that you're calling from, so I'm a little suspicious about who it might be. Let me bring this individual on. Area code 850, you're on the air live with Southern Sense and our guest, Todd Allen Harrington. Who am I speaking to?
This is Charlie. I guess that you'd be talking to me down here in Panama City Beach, Florida. And we're with Karaoke Nights, me and my wife actually just do that, and we appreciate all of Todd's help down here that he's done for us on a show and other advice that he's given us. And we really enjoy going to see you at your tent revivals, and that's basically what we want to see. As I read down, you perform with the Four Tops, and that's something me and my girl always go to see in Biloxi whenever we get a chance, and the Temptations play, so maybe we hope to see you play with them one day.
Hey, Charlie, it's good to hear your voice. I haven't seen you in a while, but you and your wife are just great people, and they're good for our community, and they have a great talent with their karaoke nights, and we have teamed up on some stuff together, and you guys have come out and supported things we're doing. But I'm glad you're listening and calling in, and this winter when we get some of them old people back, we'll do some more fun stuff.
Well, we really appreciate you. We just really appreciate you, and we look forward to seeing you with the tent revivals and all the other things down here, and that's kind of what we just wanted to tell you.
Well, Charlie, I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Tell your wife I said hello.
Okay. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you very
too,
much,
buddy.
Charlie, for the call. Wow. You've got some fantastic fans. And you also do a lot of work with various politicians, and you're heavy into the veterans' causes. I had sent you an email concerning heart songs for veterans. Would you be interested in doing something with them?
Yes, I would. Matter of fact, I looked at that again today, and I wrote it down here to give myself a note to do some stuff with them. I'm not exactly – I haven't – researched them enough to know all the details, but enough to know that it piqued my interest.
Oh, cool. Well, I had called Jill and I spoke to her yesterday, and you get on the phone with her and you're going to be on the phone 45 minutes. I'm telling you that right now. But I had her on the show this past July 25th. So if you wanted to go back and listen to see what we were talking about and get a feel for it, and she had some of her artists that had called in that she was working with, and there's a lot of fantastic people on there, and I thought you and her would be an excellent fit. It would be a great promotion for you. But your title song is God and Country, and who wrote this?
I wrote it, and the thing about it is you know, without God and without veterans, we don't have a country. And people have to get back to that realization that we don't, you know, we've got to put those things in the forefront and quit putting them on the back burner. And you know, talking about getting involved in the political realm, and you know, we were did some things with the Romney campaign and Marco Rubio in Florida, and our Governor Scott, and Gingrich and Santorum's, and the thing about it is and there are good men running for politics, and I'm not completely against politics, but we've got to get God at the forefront. And I believe the person who stands up and says, listen, we've all made mistakes, and I've made mistakes in my life, and but when we open up a session, we're going to open it up with a prayer. Once we get back to that, we'll start seeing a change in this country. And that was my little moment of preaching. But
Todd, I'll tell you this. You know, there's a lot of, and we were touching on this earlier, you know, there's a lot in our country today. There's a lot of folks out there that have lost hope. There's a lot of folks out there that really question the future of our country, which way it's going. There's a lot of people out there that have lost their patriotic spirit for our country. And what your new album does and what that music does, it is showing that there is hope out there. It shows that, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, that there is hope for our country again, that people have something to be have something to be proud of about our country. They can have that patriotic spirit restored, the music that you have on this album is a great way to, it's a part of helping. You know, if people listen to this music, you can, you know, maybe, because, you know, music is always something that goes directly to our soul and is very personal to us. And songs like this that you have on this album is something that, you know, might rekindle some of that patriotic spirit and that hope inside them again.
Yeah. Well, I think it does. The people who hear it, they come away with a different feeling. It kind of rekindles some things that are inside of them, but they just get buried up. And getting to the song God and Country, to help my son out, we formed a cabinet business, building kitchen cabinets and bathroom vanity cabinets. It's called
Allen
Custom
Furniture.
Boy, I need furniture.
Well,
we're a long ways away, but we can do it. Well, he can do it. I helped him start this business about, I don't know, 6-8 years ago, because I needed him to continue to play guitar, so I had to figure out a way to get him in his own business so he could do this, and he's doing great at it. I'm so proud of him. Matter of fact, when I go to work in the shop now, he stops me and says, Dad, we don't do it that way anymore. We do it a different way. And I'm like, okay, all right, I hear you. Well, anyways, it got to the point where, to help my son out, because I own the building where the shop is, I'll go out in the evenings just to kind of get away, and I'll sweep the floor for him and burn some of the scrap wood, so when him and his couple of people that work for him come in, it's clean. And so I'm out in the shop one day, and I'm singing some gospel songs, and I guess I was kind of meditating spiritually, maybe, and I was just singing, and all of a sudden this song came on my heart, and I didn't really, at the moment, know why, but as I walked out to burn the wood, I was looking up at the sky that evening, and it was just a beautiful blue sky. It was in September, and I would stop and just kind of look at the pine trees and the blue sky and the white cloud going through, and all of a sudden, this song started coming onto my heart. So I grabbed a yellow pad and a pen, and I started writing the words that I could feel coming to my mind. And I'm not really a songwriter, although I've written some songs. I wouldn't consider myself a songwriter. And so I wrote a verse, and I came in the house. My wife was watching a movie or something. I said, "Honey, I got some words. What do you think?" She said, "Boy, I like those words." And then I went back out, and it took a little while longer, and finally I wrote the chorus. And the funny thing was, the whole time I'm writing this, I felt like God was putting these words on me because they were just flowing. And all of a sudden, I wrote, "Oh, this would sound good right here." And so I wrote it down, and I was dead in the water. I couldn't come up with another word, another line, nothing. And I kind of walked outside, and I looked back in the clouds. I said, "God, I feel like you're putting a song on my heart to write, and I'm stumped. Don't stop on me now," is kind of what I said. And all of a sudden, I felt it was like, "Well, you were listening to me, but now you've inserted yourself. You go ahead and finish it." And it kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I actually scribbled that line out. I said, "You know what? I was taken over. Self got in the way, and I want it to be your song." And as soon as I scribbled that out, the whole thing started coming again. It was just kind of amazing. And I finally got the song ended, and that is really what started. That was in September of 2012. Yeah, 2012. And that is what started the inspiration to do the God and Country CD. We didn't record it till several months later, but that's what sparked the interest to put that CD together. But it also sparked the interest, again, a few months later, to form what we have as our God and Country tour. We call it Tent Revival of America. Everything's red, white, and blue. The tent's red, white, and blue. The all the decor that goes with it. We honor the veterans with a certificate. But all of that started because of this song, God and Country. I guess that's what you're going to play next. But that's where it began.
That is exactly what's going to be playing next. And, you know, just listening to you, you can actually feel the presence of it, of him coming over as just listening. I mean, it just, I felt it wash over me like as if you were saying a prayer. And I'm going to be playing this. I'm almost in tears right now, Todd. So this is track 13, God and Country, the title track by Todd Allen Herndon.
Oh, they came to this land by God Almighty. Over time they would call it America. Through the years men would fight for the freedom to worship God, the God of love. America, America, oh, we stand for the God of love. Yes, united we stand, for he holds our weary hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord above. Men were brave, some lost their lives, so we may gather in one nation we title under God. Through the years we would stray from our beginning to worship God, the God of love. America, America, oh, we stand for the God of love. Yes, united we stand, for he holds our weary hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord above. The Lord above. The Lord above. We repent. Bless this land we love. For they fought and they died so we may worship the Lord on high. So let's stand
for the God of love, America, America. Oh, we stand for the God of love.
Yes, united
we stand, for he holds our weary hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord above.
Yes, united
we stand, for he holds our weary hand.
So let's stand
for the Lord above. So let's stand for America.
While we take a very short break, let me tell you about our sponsor, Audible. Audible are books that you can download online, and you can sit back and don't have to read. You can hear it play in the background. I checked out the free trial, and the free trial you can check out is at audibletrial.com/southernsense. And the book I chose to download my free trial was The Federalist Papers. And I can't wait, because when I sit in my office and I'm working, I like something playing in the background. Normally it's, you know, listening to some other talk show or listening to some music. But this way, I can be enriched and have something. I don't have time to sit down and read hour after hour. I got over 9 hours of recording of over $30 value of the Federalist Papers as a free sample. Just trying out audibletrial.com/southernsense. Check them out. You'll be pleased.
All right. And we're back with Todd Allen Harrington and my co-hosts Dan and Kel. I swear that song is going to go on to the charts. I really do.
Well, it's a simple message that if you listen from the start to the finish, it was describing where we came from and how we started. And when we started, we based it upon a godly country. And then as it goes on, it tells, you know, how people have fought and died for the freedoms to worship the way we do. But we've strayed from those beginnings. And because we've strayed, that's why we're where we are now. And so that's what America is all about. So if we can get back to that, I think we'll be a whole lot better off.
Yeah, it basically, that is your entire album cover, the front and back, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's the
yeah.
whole entire message. You know, the song and the cover is the message.
Yes.
All right. Now, you also did America the Beautiful, and it's got a very, very interesting and unusual intro. Tell us a little bit about that song. What caused you to do it in the manner in which you did?
Well, I thought America the Beautiful... It's such a pretty song in nature of its words and structure that I didn't really want to take away from that. And so we just created a more of a, I don't even know, you know, I mean, just, I remember just telling the group, you know, let's not take away from the beauty of it, but let's not leave it so undone, so to speak. I don't even know if that makes sense, but sometimes a pretty song can be left undone, you know. And so they did, the musicians did just such a great job, I think, of capturing that song in a powerful sense, but in a pretty sense.
Yeah, I love the way it starts off very simple, very, very simple. And then as it goes through, it builds up into such a crescendo that you just couldn't help but feel pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we wanted to gather and capture. And so I'm glad you felt it.
It's always nice when you talk to a fellow musician that understands what you're trying to do. But I'm going to play this real quick. This is Todd Allen Harrington, his God and Country, track 11, America the Beautiful, and you're going to absolutely love this.
Thank you.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain.
Understatement there, Dan, but there's so many great cuts on this. I mean, you've got 20 tracks, and each one is as beautiful as the one before. I mean, if people don't buy this album, they're stupid. There's no other way to put it.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Hey, Andy, I want to make this comment real quick. Todd, every time I hear you sing, especially on some of the songs that have more of that traditional, have a kind of a southern gospel feel to them, you remind me a lot of Dallas Home. And if people are not familiar with who Dallas Home is, he was very popular in the 70s and 80s. He continues to be popular today, performing in churches and such. And of course, he is responsible for the standard Rise Again. And he's also considered the father of today's Christian contemporary music. And I've got to speak with him and interview him a few times. And when I hear you perform songs like that, and speaking with you here, you remind me a lot of Dallas Home when you perform like that. And so it just the way and the passion that comes through in the way you perform the songs.
Wow, what a great compliment, because I'm a big fan of Dallas Home. As a matter of fact, my wife, I had almost forgotten about his rendition of I'll Rise Again back probably, what, in the mid-80s when he cut that.
Yeah.
I remember hearing it back then, and my wife was going through some Southern gospel stuff a week or two ago, and she pulled that up and basically had tears in her eyes, and she said, "Honey, have you ever heard this song?" And she played it, and, I mean, we were both almost crying just going down the road because it's such a great song. But he can deliver a song with a vocal passion and just throws himself into it. So for you to say that, what a compliment that is to me, because I love Dallas Holmes. And you're right about what you said about him. He's an innovator and just a great minister of the gospel and just a great guy.
Well, Todd, you also did the song "I Shall Never Forget the Day," and I got to say, when I heard that, I actually played it 3 times in a row because I was sitting here in my chair with the headset on, actually doing "Hallelujah" with my arms bouncing up in the air.
Well, you know, when we do that song live, I tell people, listen. You know, well, first off, when we do our God and Country tent and inside of churches, whether it's a tent or church, when it's open to the public, I'll ask how many Catholics are here, you know, and they'll raise their hand. How many Baptists? They'll raise their hand. Assembly of God, raise their hand, you know. And I'll go through the chain of all of them, and I'll say, listen, one day we're all going to be together in glory, so tonight let's just sing together tonight. Let's put all of our differences aside, and let's come together tonight. And that sort of breaks the barrier of doctrine or the title over the door, whatever church you go to. And then I share with them that, listen, I was born in the Assembly of God Church in Indiana. My grandparents were Baptists, so I went to a lot of Baptist meetings. But my stepdad, when my parents, my mother married a guy that was a Catholic, he sent me to the Catholic school. I spent 6 years in the Catholic school, ended up dating a Nazarene and marrying a Luther. So I have been around all these blocks. And but I end up saying, but I never shall forget the day when truly all my burdens of my soul got rolled away. And that's how we lead into that song, "I Never Shall Forget the Day." And this is one that a lot of times at the end, we just keep going on the chorus. You know, you want to stop, but people are just on their feet clapping and having a good time, that we just tend to keep going with it and going with it and going with it. It's a great song.
Yeah, I had it up here for just a second, and all of a sudden I lost it. I'm going to have to now see if I can find it again. And
you know, Ann, I used to do that when I was learning, too. I told you I was going to get you back for the birthday dance.
Well, I'm having a hard time finding it, unless you can see it, Dan, and click on it. I mean, I had it up here a moment ago, and just I lost it.
Track
I'm losing.
10.
Yeah, it is track 10, and I had it. I'm getting.
I'm looking for it.
And I don't seem to see it. I would have sworn I had it up here. I marked it down as uploading it. Huh. That's interesting. Let me see if I can find it on the other list. Anyway, I have also. Dan, let me see if I can find it, and go ahead.
Okay. excuse me. You know, Todd, once again, it comes back to, you know, we've got a spirit in our country. We've really got to, did you find it?
Yeah, I found it. I ended up pulling it up on my backup computer. So this is a track 10. I hide my gray hair so no one knows just how bad I get. So this is track 10 from God and Country by Todd Allen Herndon, "I Shall Never Forget the Day." Here we go.
Long years ago, went out in sin. I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees, in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. I never shall, forget the day. He comes to God. sinner come to Jesus now, at his dear feet, just humbly bow, confess to him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within. I never shall, forget the day, when all the burdens of my soul roll away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall, forget that day, when all the burdens of my soul.
Oh, what happened? Something happened. Uh-oh, something cut it off. I don't know what happened, and I apologize for that. In the middle of doing all this, I just had, some thunder coming in behind me, so I may have had a power surge, which may have cut the song off.
It was almost to the end of the song, anyways.
Oh, I apologize for that. I can't help it. The good Lord was saying, you're running out of time because we got only 7 minutes left on the clock. And I guess it's telling me to pick it up here, Ann. But Todd, this is fantastic. He's talking to me, too.
This is
fantastic. But I'm going to end the show with my favorite song on it. It happens to be my favorite hymnal. And it's How Great Thou Art. And you left this as the very last cut. And when people hear this, you'll understand. It's the way you end the album so that everyone feels like they're in a celebration.
Well, we end all of the church events and the Tent God and Country, Tent Revival of America with this song, How Great Thou Art. And ironically, this cut is with the Jordanaires, Elvis's original backup singers. They won a Grammy Award with Elvis on that song in 1966, and he actually won a second Grammy in 1974 with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps. But we end with this song because, again, this has to be our foundation of keeping America where we are and stand with the freedoms we have and in the world, the way the world looks at us. And I don't mean that from a powerful standpoint of we have power, but in the fact that we are the guiding light for leading a world in a Christian manner. And so I wish there was a better word than great, because that's the way our God is. He's greater than great, but great is the word we have. But if there was a bigger and better word, that's the word that we could insert into that.
Yeah, and I happen to know the history about the background of the song and the pastor that wrote it. And he wrote it over a number of years. And each one was through an inspiration, first hiking in the Pyrenees. And then as things happened to him in life, he just added verse upon verse. And you chose the first and last, I would say, the two most powerful verses. You know, the middle ones build it up. But as I said, when I sing this, come the third verse, I'm already in tears. And I have a hard time.
Great.
Yeah, it is. It is a fantastic, fantastic song. But Todd, I want to thank you for joining us. We've got down to our last 5 minutes. I am going to close off with this song. But I want to remind everyone to join us again on Tuesday. We have the Buchenwald story. It is a story about American and actually Allied fighters that were in the concentration camp of Buchenwald, 168 of them, and the Luftwaffe flyers found out that they were there and rescued them, all but two. Two were executed. They were being held there as terrorists because the French underground helped rescue them. And this is their story, especially the one of gentlemen, one pilot, Dan Moser. And I'll have three different authors that wrote about this from three different angles, and join us again on Tuesday, same time. But Todd, thank you for joining us. And this is the best track of the entire CD. And this is your track 20 of How Great Thou Art. And I want to thank you for joining us and give my love to Angel and to your son.
Well, I will. Ann, Carol, Dan, all the listeners and everyone, God bless you. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Todd. I'll be talking to you later.
Thank you, Todd.
It was such an honor, Todd. I look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Thank you, Carol. You have a blessed weekend.
You too.
Great job, guys. Lord, I'm listening.